Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, and it is February 13.
Big day tomorrow.
Big day tomorrow.
For some
Not
people.
For me.
Yeah, me either. Work as usual.
Yeah. I know. Where's all the lonely people?
I know. They should have a little Valentine's Day gathering somewhere for all the singles.
Right.
Might
it leaves
too.
A lot of people out, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that might be a really vulnerable event.
It does. You know, I mean, the thing is that I'm not, like I said, I'm not crazy about having to get something when it's expected, you know?
Sure.
And that's what Valentine's Day is about. But at the same time, you got to play the game. You know, if you have somebody, they expect things.
Yeah. It's a nice gesture.
It is a nice gesture.
It's a nice gesture. I mean, I think they should get you something as well.
That's true, right?
You know, I don't think it's just like a women's holiday.
Yeah, usually women do get something for the guy, too.
You know?
Yeah.
Nice mutual.
Yeah, gift giving.
Yeah.
I don't know. Days of lovers.
I guess so.
Yeah. Well, some people get to celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people just get to watch from the sidelines.
I've never celebrated. Really? Not once. Usually it's just me and a friend get together and like watch, go see a movie or just like make a picnic at home or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Have you had a lot of boyfriends in your life?
No.
No,
not at
huh?
all. No.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't dated too much. I mean, I dated a bunch in New York, but it was just like one date, maybe a second date, or just like a one night stand situation or something like that.
Right.
New York was just too
weird.
What
about earlier in your life, like in your teens, in your 20s?
No.
No, huh?
No.
You'd rather not?
No. Well, it's the tale as old as time. Like when I'm usually interested in somebody, they're usually interested in my friend.
Oh, God.
It's one of those. And then when I'm extremely not interested in somebody, they're usually really interested in me.
I see.
Yeah, so it's usually that.
So you have a problem of synchronicity, I guess.
Yes, exactly. That's the word for it. That is the word for it.
You need to synchronize yourself with other people.
I know. But like we said yesterday, I'm not just going to date someone because they're there and they're, you know,
exactly.
Someone could be perfect on paper, but if you just don't feel that energy or that vibe.
Yeah, no, you got to feel it, you know. You got to really want to be with a person, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, otherwise,
totally.
it's terrible to have to be with someone who you don't like.
Right. Or who, like, likes you more, and then you're just, like,
right.
Yeah, you're just not into it.
Or, yeah, I know.
Yeah, dating's weird out there.
I know, you know. I mean, I've sort of like, like I said yesterday, with all my girlfriends, I kind of like lost interest after a while, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, yesterday there was a show here. They talked about love and relationships and stuff. And they say about how humans really like novelty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe guys even more than girls. I don't know. But as far as relationships and the other sex and stuff, guys need novelty, you know. At least I know I do, which sucks because then a relationship doesn't last because you get bored of it after a while, you know.
Yeah.
And you're not attracted to the person anymore.
Yeah.
And that sucks. That's
that
really
does suck.
A bad place to be.
I think that really goes both ways, though. I think sometimes women might give men the benefit of the doubt more often. I mean,
right.
I don't know that that's necessarily even true. I think whoever's not giving the benefit of the doubt, the other person is, and vice versa.
Right.
You know, so I think it's really hard to find two people on the same page. Plus, like, we have to realize that every person we meet has lived an entire life, you know, however they have, and so have we. So when you come together with a person and you have two people that are completely different,
right.
It's an adjustment. It's a compromise. It's, you know, we have our way of thinking, they have their way of thinking, and we have to come together and not just be confused about how they're thinking, but try to understand it, you know, so we can at least relate and understand where they're coming from.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a really big issue in dating.
But it's really good that you're not just dating because for the sake of dating, or,
you know,
there's many women that can't be without a man, you know? I mean, they constantly have to have somebody. You know?
I mean, there's that whole thing. There's so many women who are my age. I'm 31, and they feel like complete losers because they haven't found someone. I mean, not even just women. Everyone I talk to, they're just like, I haven't found somebody, like this, this, and that. And I'm like, yeah, but like, it's not like you haven't been dating. Like, everyone thinks that, you know, they're going to be married or have this like perfect person. It's the last person they're ever going to kiss by the time they're 30 or by the time they're 28 or 27 or whatever age they've put in their head to be the age to do that, thing or to find that thing by. And it's, we live in such a different world, you know, and those standards of, you know, when my mom got married, she was in her late 20s. And she's 71 now. So when she was in her late 20s, like, she was considered an old bird at that age, you know, like they were like, wow, true, you're not married already. You don't. She had her first kid at 30, my brother. And that was considered old back then. I mean, she was the only one of her friends left that wasn't married or had kids. Yeah. And she was so okay with it because she spent her early 20s traveling. She worked as a nurse in Israel for a year and just did all this really great stuff. And she's like, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to have the chance to do that. So I want to do it now when I'm on my own and I can experience. Because
good for her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once
you
get married, you don't get to do these things.
I mean, imagine even like traveling and you are married and, you know, my mom's a, I wouldn't say that my mom has ever cheated on anybody. That's just not her style. But imagine like you're married or you're dating someone and then you're traveling overseas and you want it to be whimsical. Like when you're traveling around the world, like you want that. I want that to be like the most whimsical period of my life where I'm not, you know, held down by anything and I can, you know, hook up with a guy in Barcelona and then meet someone else in like the Netherlands. Like, who knows, you know, like the world is literally your oyster when you're traveling like that. Yeah. And I wouldn't want anything holding me back from that. And she didn't. So she got to, really experience that.
That's cool.
My point is that most people, I think, have this idea in mind that they have to be this or that at a certain age, but nowadays it's just too different.
Yeah,
it's too different with online dating, with, you know, I mean, when my mom was growing up, like, women didn't have jobs, you know, like their job was to raise the family, which is a huge job, but it wasn't an income situation, you know. And now women have jobs, they're, you know, pursuing careers, and men are pursuing different careers, and the whole job market has just completely opened up, and people are working on their businesses, and their, you know, self-care is a really big thing now. And I just think the world is just too different to have the same measurements of time than we had before. And I think people get lost in that.
Right. And we live longer too. So people can, you know, they wait longer and stuff. I mean, I'm thinking my mom married at 19, you know, she had me at 20. That's young. You know?
I can't imagine having an 11-year-old. I'm like, you're cramping my style, kid.
I know. But if you were married, it'd be a different thing altogether, I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
And that's really what they were after those days, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, she was working. She had a job and everything. She was a seamstress, I think. But, they quickly got married. My dad was 25 or something, you know. So that's pretty young, you know.
Now if I heard of a 25-year-old getting married, I'm like, you idiot.
Yeah,
that's what I think. I'm like, you idiot, you don't even know, you know.
Exactly.
I had a friend who got married at, I think he was 21 or 22, and you know, did the whole tattoo ring on his finger. They're like long gone divorced, you know. They were long gone divorced just a couple years after, and you know, people think
that's sad. Yeah.
I know, the thing that I would tell my younger self is, whatever you think you absolutely are absolutely certain on, whatever you think you totally know is completely wrong.
Right.
You know, like,
everything you think you know is wrong.
Yeah. You're going to change your mind. I mean, that's part of getting older for me. And I've noticed in other people too, is that the older you get, the more you realize the less you know.
That's true.
You know,
it's so true.
Like, I don't know shit. I know nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Just show up. I'm like, hey, exactly. What are we going to learn today? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. You know, I've been talking about learning. I've been showing some interest in day trading. Do you know what that is?
No.
That's like buying stocks and selling them on the same day.
Okay.
Right? Now, I'm not into investing and all that stuff. I don't know much about it.
Oh, day trading. I thought you said date trading.
Oh, not date. Day. Yeah. Okay. I know. I guess we were talking about dates and stuff. And I changed the subject. But we were talking about learning and stuff. And I love learning new things. So when I discover something, I'm like all into it. You know,
sure.
Books, videos, all that stuff.
I need
to know everything about it.
Totally.
So I'm decided to dabble in it, you know, now that I have a little bit of money and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a good thing to do, though. I mean, I'm reading that it can really be dangerous, you know. You could lose money and stuff, too. And when you do that, it's not like investing. When you invest, you put it in for the long term.
Sure.
And all this thing and a lot of things that the companies do matter.
Yeah.
But when you day trade, you just like are looking for stocks that move a lot that day, and you do it, you know. But it can be pretty dangerous. So I don't know if I want to get into
a lot of anxiety. I don't know if that kind of stress is good, you know, for you.
And they say you can't use emotions. And I'm a very emotional person, you know. I get upset quickly.
Yeah, I can see you just being like, God damn it.
You know, like, fuck this. So I don't know. Man. They say it takes a while to learn.
How long have you been doing this?
Just a few days, you know. But I haven't done it. I'm just reading up on it now. And I got like a demo account to play with. But I don't know. Looking for excitement in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it seems so cool because the people that do make money in it, I mean, they make it sound attractive, you know.
And always.
On the one hand, they tell me the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, don't think it's easy. It could take you months or years to really be good at it and stuff. But
I mean, it's all by chance anyway. How do you really get good at something that's by chance?
But it's not. It really, like, when you learn into it, it's not really by chance. I mean, yeah, you can't foresee what's going to happen, but you know, it's like
you start learning how to identify
what's
going to go well.
And you're betting on things, but it's like within the day, you know, you don't ever hold anything overnight.
Right.
So it's trading. It's not investing, you know.
Got it.
It's a whole different thing. So everything people know about investing in stocks is wrong when you deal with this, right?
Sure, sure.
And I'm thinking, you know, I mean, you can make good money at it. And the attractive thing about it is you get up at 6, you know, because you need to be up by 6:30 when the market's open in New York.
Yeah.
But he says by 8 o'clock, I'm done, you know, and it's like I have the whole day to do whatever I want. And I made a few $100 and I'm like,
fuck. Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
I'd love something like that.
Yeah, me too.
So we'll see. I'll play with the demo account for a while after I learn this and see if I'm even close, you know,
right?
To doing the right thing.
I have a friend in New York. He is a personal trainer now, but he, I think he's in his 50s now. But when he was younger, he was part of the stock market and he was like really in it. Like it was like Wolf of Wall Street kind of stock market stuff.
Wow.
And he said it, you know, he left that whole life behind because it got so stressful that one morning he just like woke up and he was like waiting to hear back from somebody. And he happened to look up in the mirror and his nose just started bleeding down his face.
Wow.
And he was like, that was the day I knew that I had to quit this. I was really? Like, oh my God.
What, was that like from stress and stuff?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Totally.
Yeah. I know. I remember when I was younger, I think in the 80s, 90s, they were talking about like Wall Street careers and stuff like that and how much money people were making in investment banking.
Yeah.
Everybody was majoring in that in school. But it was a thing, you know? And they would talk about it then, about how high pressure it is and everything. And that's when I thought, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, you know?
No.
It's not for me.
It's a lot of anxiety.
Right.
It's probably,
I don't need the pressure in my life.
I know. I love high stress jobs like that. Like, I love being like in full panic mode. It's just like what feels right to me in a weird, sick way. It's all I know. So I feel like I'd really probably enjoy that.
Yeah,
it would be bad for me.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Not going to do it. I do a little Bitcoin here and there, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Oh, Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What do? Like you invest in it?
A little bit, yeah. And really? I do sales for a Bitcoin guy.
Oh, wow.
It's a casual thing because I focus mostly on film. But when I do find people, I recruit them over. And
wow.
They make some bank with them, so.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess, you know. I mean, yeah. Something related, I guess Tesla will sell new shares to raise up to $2 billion. Mm. Don't you want to buy any? I mean, the thing is that they just, year to date, they've increased almost 100% in the stock. I mean, remember just like last week or 2 weeks ago, it jumped like so much. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, but go buy a share there. It's $800 a share.
Not bad.
Yeah, but how are you going to? You're not going to be able to get many shares with the money we have, at least.
Yeah, definitely
not. I mean, this is like for institutional investors, you know?
They say, actually, to be back on that topic for a quick second, they say investing in any vegan company right now is a really big market. Last year on NASDAQ, Beyond Burger skyrocketed past Purdue in the first, like, 6 months, and they did higher than Purdue did in the past, like, 15 years. In just a year, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So people were raking it in with Beyond.
Well, we need to look at that too, I guess.
Totally.
Yeah.
Got to find all the new up-and-coming trends. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't say that on air. Save it for us.
Yeah, right. Like nobody would know.
Right.
But I mean, man. To buy 100 shares of Tesla, you need $80,000, you know?
Woof.
Fuck, just for 100 shares.
Imagine being back in the day when Apple first came out and buying shares in Apple and being like, remember when they had like the different colored computers that were kind of clear and you could see through them? Yeah. Like the desktop. Imagine like that computer. You're like, no one thought that was going to blow up the way that it did. And just imagine buying stock in that and where you'd be right now.
Well, but that's the thing. When I was buying some stock, like maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple was like $100 and something. I mean, you know, now it's like in the fucking sky.
I know.
But, you know, sometimes you just have to sell. You know?
I know. Like, I wish someone would just leave me some stock that I didn't know they had.
Right?
You know, just give me a few shares. No biggie. You know, you got 10 shares. Give me one.
Exactly.
No problem. Yeah. You know, no harm, no foul.
I know, man, but it's such a dangerous thing to do when you trade. So, investing long term usually you can't do you can't do wrong, you know.
Yeah. They also have these I forget the term for it, but it's kind of like a basket investment where there's a bunch of small companies in one basket and you just put a certain amount of money down and it distributes them to all of the baskets. So,
mutual funds.
It's a different name. It's a different name.
Hedge fund?
No, you need a lot of money to put a hedge fund. You need like $1 million to have a hedge fund or something, or $100,000 to start a hedge fund.
So what they call like a basket or something?
Yeah, it's kind of like a basket thing. And then you just, you know, put down like $1,000 and they distribute it among all of those companies and see which one like kind of bites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. So that's different from a mutual fund.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck it is, but I don't know much about finance anyway.
Yeah, I'd love to know more. I just never take the time to do so when I have free time.
Right.
You know? I'm like, I wish I knew more, but I don't really care enough to learn that much.
I know, right?
I need to, though.
But that's where the money's at, goddammit, you know?
I know. Yeah. I know. I'm like, what's the next big thing? Should we invest in?
I know.
To invest some cash.
I know. You need somebody to get started, for crying out loud. Yeah. You know?
My friend's mom invested in Starbucks back when they first got big.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then she died and left them all her Starbucks shares. And I'm like, I want a Starbucks share. Hello. You see the cup on the table? There's one there every day.
Yeah, that's true. Huh?
Instead, I'm just counting my points so I can get a free French press.
Yeah.
I have 105 points left, and then I get it.
Really? And what's a French press?
So it looks like this like tiny little pitcher with like a handle on top.
Oh, I know that. Well, you make coffee. Yeah. You squeeze it.
Yeah. You squeeze the grinds.
So they give you one when you have a certain amount of points?
Yeah, if you get up to 400 points, you can either cash your points in for like drinks and stuff like that for free. But if you save to 400, you can get any product off the shelf that's under $20. So you can get, you know, a pound of coffee. Their French press is like $19. I'm sure you could get a mug or something like that. So. Yeah.
Isn't it simpler to buy it for $20 than to wait to get the 400?
I mean, maybe. I mean, if you can get it for free, though.
How do you get the points based on what? How much you spend?
Yeah. So you have the Starbucks app, and then you just put money on your card on there and then buy it off the app.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty great. Yeah. You get free drinks, free perks, and stuff like that. Yeah. They used to give you like amazing perks, but they've kind of reeled it in over the past couple of years. So, really? Yeah, totally.
Oh, well. I know. Yeah, giveaway. I mean, they can afford to give away shit.
They can afford so much. Yeah, for sure.
There's so many Starbucks here.
I know. But you know what? In New York, it's like wild.
Yeah, I know. New York's like every corner, right?
Yeah.
Because people walk there.
One on every corner.
Right.
You know, on the same chunk of block.
I know. It's crazy.
I know.
But they're more fun there. They're kind of cozy with there's because usually it's dark outside, so there's light inside. That's what I'm remembering, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it cozy.
Well, I don't know why.
Because you go inside and there's like three homeless people parked up with like all of their bins of stuff, and they're just like spread out, and the whole place stinks. And then there's a line out the door, and you're waiting in line. I've waited in line for like half an hour at Starbucks before.
So I must have gotten lucky where I went.
Yeah, definitely.
Jeez.
A good time of day or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not usually cozy in there. New York Starbucks are some of the grossest places on earth.
Wow.
Yeah.
The amazing thing is they tried it in other places in the world, and it doesn't catch on because, in Europe, they have a coffee culture that's been there for centuries, you know? So for Starbucks to come in with, like, paper cups and stuff, people are not into that, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, "Let me sit here and eat my cake or croissant."
Yeah,
or
croissant. When I went to France, no one had to-go cups. Like there were no to-go cups anywhere. No ice. Like every drink was like room temp, except coffee was hot. But yeah, you go in and you sit down and you drink your coffee in your little saucer and your little cup and your little sugar, and it's very like fancy and not fancy to them. It's very regular.
You sit there for hours with your friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so leisurely.
Right.
When I worked in service, every time people from other countries would come in, I'm like, oh, here we go. They're going to be here forever. Yeah. You know, Americans are like, where's my food? Where's my food? Where's my food? And then the food comes, they wolf it down, and they're like, where's the check? Where's the check? We got to go, you know?
Right.
But like people from Italy, when they would come to visit, they want to sit and have like a 4-hour dinner and like drink
they make
four
it a
bottles
big deal
of wine.
Out of it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, with Italians especially, you know, I mean, I remember when I watched The Sopranos, it's like every scene they're around the table eating, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's very Jersey.
Yeah.
It's very Jersey. You know? The ma's like, we got the pasta and the, they don't call it sauce, they call it gravy.
Oh, really?
Pasta and gravy. Yeah.
Tomato gravy.
Yeah, tomato gravy.
Wow.
And the ragout.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. But I love Italian food, you know? I mean,
yeah, I mean,
they
spaghetti.
You know, especially like authentic ones, you know? They make all these things and cheeses and pasta and
stuffed shells and.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good.
They know how to make food. That's
they
for
do.
Sure. And it's caught on in the U.S., you know. I mean, there's so many Italian restaurants.
It's
here.
A staple. I've never had fresh pasta.
Fresh pasta. Like where they make it there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's some places that do
I know
that,
there's
right?
a ton. And people tell me it's a game changer.
Really?
I'm like, I mean, I don't really discriminate against noodles. I mean,
right.
You know?
I mean, once you cook it, who knows the difference?
Totally. I love getting into the debate who makes better noodles, Asian cultures or Italian culture.
Right.
And everyone's like, well, I mean, you got like ramen, you have like pho, you have, you know, any
chow mein.
Yeah, any of it. And then you have, you know, every, like, lasagna and fettuccine and, you know.
Yeah, that's
It's always a debate.
I love noodles. I'll take them any way they're made.
Yeah, you know? Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Well, I'm hungry now.
No discrimination against noodles. Any size, any shape.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I'm hungry.
Right.
But I try not to eat a lot, even though I'm like hungry all the time without the cigarettes and stuff. But it's hard. So I eat salads, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point where I crave like broccoli.
It's good. You know,
it's a good place to be, you know.
Yeah,
you crave these things.
The more healthy stuff you eat, the more healthy stuff you want to eat. And the more junk you eat. Like if you ever notice when you've been eating healthy and then you go to like a party one day and you're eating like cake and grazing on chips, like the next day I always want to just eat junk.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes me like a day or two to like shake that off, you know, as long as I don't do it again.
I know.
But yeah, when I'm eating really healthy, that's all I want to do is eat healthy.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. I mean, I'm thinking I haven't had like French fries like months, you know, fried chicken, you know, things like that. Even a hamburger. I don't think I've had a hamburger since the hospital.
That's pretty great. You know, Fatburger, you can have it wrapped in lettuce. They'll do that for you.
I know. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Or what they actually do is...
It's not the bread that's my problem. It's the greasy meat.
It's the fatty, greasy meat. Yeah. What they do is they put the toppings on the inside and the burgers on the outside and use the burgers as bread.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what they do when you don't want the bread with it.
Oh, that's Fatburger?
Fatburger, yeah.
Oh, so they don't wrap it with the lettuce, they wrap it with the hamburger.
They wrap it with the burger.
So there's two patties.
Two patties, yeah.
Oh, God. Who the hell invented that?
Well, it's not a bad idea.
I know. But they're saying that that veggie burger, those veggie burgers are good.
They're amazing.
Have you tasted them?
Oh, yeah. I'm no stranger to Fat Burger's Impossible Burger. Not at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really great.
I'll have to try that. Yeah.
It's like almost undetectable.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. They did a whole test because Burger King has the Impossible Burger too. And they had people, I think from Impossible, or I think it was like a reporter from a veggie magazine. And they had them taste the burger and they did it with like a farmer in the Midwest, you know, like a meat farmer in the Midwest. And they brought him there and they gave him a Whopper and he was like, this is great. Like, so why are we eating this Whopper? And they were like, well, it's not actually a Whopper. It's a vegan burger patty. And he was like, no, like, really? Yeah, he was so blown away. He couldn't even believe it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try that and see. Why
yeah.
not?
And the whole drive there, they had talked about it. Uh-huh. They had talked about like vegan burgers and stuff. And he's like, nah, I don't want to eat that. It's like gross and this and that. And then he tasted it and he was like, wow, this is really impressive.
Yeah. And it's pretty natural. Is it or
I wouldn't say it's.
I wonder what they put in it.
I mean, I think they use pea protein in that one, which is a really common one. My biggest problem with those burgers is that they're really filled with canola oil, and canola oil is like one of the worst ones. It's directly linked to like neurodegenerative disease and stuff like that. So I try to keep my canola oil to a minimum.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I know. It's so good though.
Yeah, right?
But the canola oil just kills me.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah. I'm into olive oil these days. So
olive
oil
is great.
Good with that.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Yeah.
Olive oil is one thing. Grape yeah. seeds, one thing. Canola, no. This is really not good for you.
All right. Yeah. But I'm enjoying vegetables and some fruit and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I love like watermelon, but it's hard to find any this season.
It's
right
not
now.
Good this season. I had some the other day. It was crunchy.
I know, it was terrible, you know. Yeah. No flavor. But the other day I found one that was already cut.
Yeah.
And it looked good and it actually tasted good. It was nice and crisp and sweet, so
good,
you know.
Yeah,
so I like this stuff, you know. Now like cheese, for example, I love cheese. I don't know how great it is for us, but I love
cheese.
It's
not amazing.
Yeah, I know, but it still, it tastes very healthy.
Yeah, it tastes right? healthy. I wouldn't say it tastes healthy.
I think it does.
They did this.
Like cottage cheese and stuff. Don't you think it tastes like healthy?
No. No? I don't associate dairy with health at all. They did this. College did this test. Several tests actually have been done since then, but they did a test when you do like cocaine. And then when you eat dairy, the same parts of your brain light up. So it's basically like cocaine on right. your brain. Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that.
You just eat a bunch of cheese for energy.
Yeah. Yeah, I love cheeses, all kinds. So there you go. But you're not into the dairy, so we
I
get
mean,
it.
Look, I love cheese. I think cheese is delicious, but.
Right. So now when you drink coffee, do you put any like cream-like stuff in there?
I usually like do coconut dairy. Milk. Yeah, I do coconut milk. There's a lot of brands out there that even Coffee Mate makes. They make a coconut milk coffee creamer and they make an almond milk coffee creamer. I don't really like almond milk in my coffee, but I usually do the coconut. I'm a big coconut person. I usually do the coconut creamer in it. It's delicious. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah, if you ever have those like sugary French vanilla creamers in your coffee, it's like that.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh.
You should give it a go.
Yeah, you learn new things every day.
Yeah.
So you don't feel deprived that you don't get to eat every day.
The industry is so booming right now. Like, right. I get this, like, vegan sliced Gouda, and it's like a smoked Gouda, and I have people try it. People like, this tastes, like, it tastes exactly like sliced cheese. It's incredible. And there's a brand called Kite Hill that does an almond ricotta, and I make that for events and stuff, so I believe it's vegan.
Wow.
And I never tell them until after they eat it and say yeah. how good it is. Then I'm like, haha, gotcha.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, if you're vegan, LA is a good place to live in, you know?
Yeah.
Is
totally.
Everybody,
if you eat anything, LA is a great place to live. There's so much good food here.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, related to this is that they have a list of like the most populous states. Mm. And not surprisingly, we're the most. We've got the most people.
Really?
40 million people.
Wow.
In California.
I so mean, it's a massive state.
It is a massive state.
Huge.
You know? So, but I don't care for it. I don't care to be among 40 billion people. I don't know, man. It's getting too crowded. But there are places in California that are small and
remote
and cool and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. There's tons of small towns here.
Yeah.
I don't know where any of them are, but.
Yeah, well, not every place is LA, obviously. So
yeah, totally.
You can find some. And they have small towns like along the coast, which would be very cool, you know.
Yeah, living by the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be amazing. That's the dream.
I know. Well, maybe I should go back to Oregon and actually do that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, shit, you know, it's like, it's everything is half the price. Or even more, because more than half less, because, well, when I'm thinking of the place where I was going to like, where I was going to live, it was right on a lake, right?
Right.
And then there's a beach like on the other side of town, like $300,000 or something.
I mean, oh my God.
Here it would be like $2 million for a house.
Absolutely.
On the,
if you're lucky.
Lake. If you're lucky, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Living on a lake kind of freaks me out. I just feel like it's the perfect equation for murder. That's what I would think the whole time. Like, you'll never find me owning a lake house ever.
Oh, wow.
Like, someone will
you're
definitely.
You're watching too many movies.
Yeah. Way too many, you know.
But, yeah. I mean, no, for me, it's a dream, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I know.
I don't know, man. But
plus swimming in the lake, so murky.
Yeah.
So such still water. We had to swim in a lake when I went to camp 1 year, and it was so
really
gross. Yeah, I was like, like the whole time. I was like, I don't want to be in this water. I can't see the bottom.
Yeah. Well, you don't necessarily swim in it, but it's nice to be there. You can do water sports and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it depends what you're looking for, you
totally.
Know.
Totally.
But I still don't know what I'm looking for. But as soon as I figure it out, There's so many people moving to Texas from LA. It's unbelievable.
I know. Texas is very inexpensive.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to live there, though, but yeah. Although it's got so many different parts to it, just like California.
It's true.
Know?
It's true.
I mean, if you live in Northern California, it's not the same as Southern California. So when you say I'm from California, people automatically think San Francisco or LA, you know?
Totally.
But there's so many other places.
So much in between.
So with Texas, it's the same thing. You know, I mean, if you live in Houston, that's one place because you're near the ocean and everything. Yeah. And then, but if you live inland, it's all like desert. And
sure.
So yeah. It's different, you know? So
my friend's mom lives 2 hours north and she lives in the middle of the woods.
Really?
Yeah. So my friend goes and works there sometimes.
Yeah.
Just works remote from there. And it like snows there and
oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's fun.
Get some seasons.
I know.
Yeah.
I know people just think of California and they think it's hot and sunny all the time.
Right.
And it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not.
But you know that the second most populous is Texas. So they have 30 million where we have 40 million.
That's not a big difference.
Yeah. But and they have a much bigger state as far as the land.
Yeah, more space. So,
more space. But, yeah, I don't know. I should probably travel there once and then see what it's like. You
yeah,
know?
Totally.
And then maybe consider it. I
mean,
don't
I think Oregon's probably a really good.
Yeah, I'm just concerned with so much rain, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the rain doesn't even. I mean, I like rain, but what I think I couldn't handle very much is overcast every day for days on end, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, you do want some sun.
Yeah,
so there is, but not a lot.
New York's not for you. Never moved to New York. It's literally gray all of the time.
I know,
it sucks, man.
I know, man. And then number three is Florida with 21 million people. And so we had California, Texas, and Florida. The next one is New York.
Mm.
New York's got about 20 million people, 19 million people. And that's a small state.
And like 19 know? Million of that's probably just New York City.
Right. No, but I know New York City is probably like 8 million, I think.
Yeah, it's about 8 million.
Yeah, it's double what we have here.
Yeah.
In half the area.
Less than half the
Less
area.
Than half the
yeah,
area.
New York's like what 7 or 8 miles, something like that.
The you mean the city?
Yeah,
probably.
Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not very big.
Yeah, but shit.
That's why everyone's just standing on each other's shoulders all the time.
I know, shit, man, and living in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, imagine being stuck in dinnertime traffic going to LAX, except for every one car, it's like 15 people. And you're all just like standing there.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the train that's an hour late because somebody jumped in front of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you no longer care that somebody died. You're just like, ugh, ruined my day. Yeah. Now I'm late. That's so how New York is.
Yeah. So the first four are pretty much expected, but the fifth one is Pennsylvania. I mean, I would never think that.
No, I mean,
they have 12 million people.
My mom's from Cleveland, so we used to drive across PA when I was growing up a lot. And there's a whole lot of nothing in PA. I mean, I'm sure there's places there that are heavily populated. But, I mean, we would take Route 80 and it would just, I mean, you'd see like horse and buggy in some parts.
God, I like that. I'd like to see that, you know?
Definitely. PA is, like, beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, it's gorgeous to drive through.
Yeah.
But
one day I'm going to do, like, a road trip cross country, you know?
Have you ever done it?
No.
Oh, my gosh, you should.
At least once, right?
You should, yeah.
That's what you did, right?
Not when I moved here, but I've done it before.
Oh, you've done it before?
Yeah, I did from New Jersey to L.A. and then San Francisco, and then I also did New Jersey to Denver. So I've kind of I've done it kind of twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And how did you get back? By flight?
Yeah, flight.
Okay. Yeah, because you don't want to drive all the way back, you know?
No.
Because by then you just want to
like,
get home.
Yeah. I know. You want to either go going yourself, it's a long ride to do yourself. There's a lot of boredom, a lot of highway hypnosis. I definitely like had to take an Adderall or something like on my drive year. I was like, when your eyes are wide open, you can't see. You're just like, oh, I can't stay awake. Was like, my brother was sleeping in the car, so it was like just me, like no one to talk to. It was just like me in the open road. I'm like, I'm gonna fall asleep. Oh my god.
Right. Because not all the roads are interesting with things to see.
I know. And the people I drove here with, the group I drove with, she was my best friend at the time, and it was her sister and her sister's fiance, and they didn't want to make fun stops. They didn't want to check things out. They just wanted to kind of drive straight through and just make a couple stops that they wanted to make. And they were also all sick and wanted to like chain smoke cigarettes with the windows up and the heat blasting the whole time. So I'm just in the back seat, like casually dying. And they locked the windows because they kept getting mad at me for opening the window because it was cold outside. I'm like asphyxiating back here, like I'm dying, you know. And they didn't care.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was kind of
smoking a closed car.
I know, that was the end of a friendship actually with that girl. So I think we were friends for like maybe a couple weeks after that. She was like my best friend at the time, and I was just like, that was the shittiest experience ever.
I'm sure.
Oh,
wow.
My god, it was the worst.
I can handle it, man.
I know. And she had no money because she like she was one of those people that was like, I'm an artist, like I can't work a regular job kind of people. Yeah. So they just mooch off everyone. So her like sister and I just like took turns paying for her, and she was just being an ass the whole time. I was like, this is the worst trip ever, but I'm in LA.
Yeah,
I was so happy to be here.
It's funny because in this town there's a lot of people like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm an actor, I can't do anything else, you know.
Totally. And
so
I'm like,
they live like poor people.
Yeah,
you know.
No, I love life too much to live like that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, get a fucking job, you know?
Totally. Plus, you never know who you're going to connect with. I've met so many other filmmakers and actors working in restaurants and bars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That I've collaborated on projects with, or who have connected me to other people, and I've connected them to other people.
Yeah.
It's a great way to meet people. And plus, when you're... I know so many artists that think they have to like lock themselves inside all day and like be sad. I mean... You know how it can be when you just lock yourself inside a lot. It can get weird in there, you know, you're spending too much time alone. And it's important to keep your brains engaged and talking to people, I think.
Right.
Yeah, I think
and
it's really important.
Bring in some income, you know?
Yeah, I think it's good for your spirit to be able to support yourself like that and not just depend on other people. I mean, I'd never want to be dependent on somebody else.
I know, but there's people like that, you know.
I know, they think that they're compromising their artistry by getting a job at a bar.
Yeah.
And like, to an extent,
it's beneath them or something.
You know, they're like, I'm an artist, I can't be bothered.
Right.
Yeah, there's like a whole stigma with that, with artists thinking that they need to live this like reclusive life in order to be an artist, otherwise like they're not, you know. And I'm just like, having a job and doing self-care and taking care of yourself and getting treatment for whatever it is you need, like, isn't going to take away from you being the creative person you are. And people really think that.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, they're spoiled, I guess, you know.
Totally.
The fuck? They come to LA, they don't want to work.
Right.
Yeah. I don't have any sympathy for that. I don't know. You know, you see them like poor and, oh, I don't have any money. Well, go get a fucking job, you know.
Yeah. And they don't realize what a luxury it is for them to be able to like move here and have somebody else paying their rent tab or something.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, man. The stuff I would do with my money if somebody was paying my rent
would
be amazing. I'd make so much more happen with that extra
money.
Well, find
some rich guy, you know.
I know. I went on a sugar baby date once, and I was like, this isn't for me. I've been convincing myself for years that I should just do it. What's the big deal? Like,
yeah,
it's fine,
have
you know.
Take care of me.
Yeah, I'm a really secure person. So for me, like, that kind of thing is not going to mess with my mind. I'm not going to feel less about myself. But yeah, I went on a date with a guy, and he was actually really nice. And he was like, he offered me like $500 a week just to like hang out with him once a week. I was kind of like, no. I don't know that I'm into it, but
easy money. But yeah, you have to be a special person to be able to do that.
Yeah,
I think,
I'm not into it.
Yeah,
I'd rather make my own money.
Yeah, exactly. You're independent like that.
Even if it's less money, I'd rather make my own money.
Yeah, you know. I mean,
you know.
But and plus, I mean, you know, chicks that do that are like, they're like whores, you know? I mean,
I don't know if I'd call it that.
Why? I mean, you're like having sex for money.
I mean, some people do that, yeah. But some people, I mean, I know people who have just had online relationships with people and they send them money.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's different, yeah. But I'm talking about the ones that actually have sex for the money, you know? I mean, they're whoring themselves. How are you going to call it?
Yeah.
Know? It's not like I have anything against them. But I'm just saying that. You know, when you do that, you're
it's a thing, but
it's a thing.
I mean, you make your money. See, yeah. I think when they do that though, they're earning that money. They're earning that money. That's money that's earned. It's a
well earned,
really well earned. You know, that's I couldn't do it. So plus, like, I have this like whole like neurotic thing in my head where I'm like, what if I get audited by the IRS and they're going to be like, where's all this money coming from? And I'm just like, sugar
baby. That's
not
a lot of money. $2,000 a month. That's not a lot of money.
It's enough to get.
Yeah, but the IRS doesn't care about that kind of money. If you're bringing in like $20,000 every week or something,
that'd be so sweet.
Right?
I mean, I might reconsider my options if I was getting $20,000 a week. Are you kidding?
Exactly.
I'd work 1 week a month and that's it.
Yeah.
And like you get one day a month or 1 week a month and I'm done.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some guy, my friend went on a sugar baby date and the guy offered my friend $5,000
really?
for one night.
One night.
$5,000 for one night.
Wow.
And she didn't do it.
She didn't do it?
She didn't do it.
Huh.
I know.
Well, the price wasn't right. Everybody's got a price, I guess, you know?
Yeah. The price wasn't right. I'm like, what would be... Also, like, what was up with the dude so much? What was so bad about him that she didn't want to?
Yeah, that's you know? True, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
I'd rather just meet someone like nice that I'm actually interested in.
Yeah, and you know, live on your own money.
Live on my own money, you know? Can buy dinner once in a while. I'll buy dinner once in a while.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, well.
Figure it out.
What about the guy that took your phone number? Did he call you or anything?
Oh, the one from traffic?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been texting.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, we've been texting.
Well,
so
maybe something will come out of it.
Yeah.
I was driving today. I thought, how is it possible to give numbers on the freeway, you know?
Oh, we were on, I forget what road. It was, I mean, when you're in bumper to bumper like that, no one's moving.
I know, but I never, like, look in the other car.
I always
do. And try to communicate with the person.
I just,
but it's pretty cool. I mean,
I got a wandering eye.
Well, good for you, you know, whatever it takes, man.
I guess. Whatever. Who knows? I'm not really that interested in anything. I feel like when I meet someone who I'm interested in, I'll be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, totally interested.
We'll know, right?
Yeah, you'll know. You'll know for sure.
All right, Jen.
Oh, that's it.
That's it for today.
All right.
Got things to do, places to go, people to see.
I know. So. Ready to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know.
So here goes another date. Tomorrow's Friday, so we'll see you then.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.